The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" He said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside was a large herd of swine that was feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine. And the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Good morning. Come on up. And we're going to talk about a few things. Hope your summer's going good. And you maybe had a vacation. If not, you're planning one, I hope. Come on up, have a seat. And we're going to talk about something today. We're actually going to talk about words. All right? We're going to talk about words. It's hard to believe, but I went to a workshop one time, and the pastor who was talking said, "You know what? When I'm a pastor and I go to a church, everybody asks, do you grade everybody's sermons?" And he said, "No, I don't." He said, "But you know, after a while, it's kind of hard to kind of pay attention because you're used to giving sermons, not listening." So he said, "What I started to do is I started to listen for one word. And you'd be surprised how many times that one word will make you listen, because it's different than what you thought you should be there." Well, today we have one of those. I hope you listen to the sermon today from Pastor Tim, because this is a jam-packed gospel. It's got a lot in it. Okay, but there was one word that stuck out to me at the end. Usually Jesus says, go tell somebody, okay? But at the very end today, to the person he heals, he tells him to go declare to everyone. So what's the difference between tell and declare? Well, guess what? You're going to help me tell. Here's how we're going to do it. You're just about divided perfectly. We're going to have one team over here, and we're going to have one team over here, okay? And I have the trophy. You've just won the championship, okay? All right? So, your group over here, come on. Let's circle up. Okay, you're going to be the tell group, okay? You're just going to talk like you normally would talk, okay? But you're going to be real happy. You're going to try to tell everybody that you won the championship. So who's going to hold it? All right? So, this is the tell group. Tell them. All right, there you go. All right, thank you. You may have a seat. All right, the clear group, come here.
Oh, yeah, I have all of them.
Come here. All right.
Shout it out, okay? So who's going to hold it? It's that we won a championship and shout it out.
Go.
We won a championship.
There you go. All right. That's declare. This was tell. There's a difference there, isn't there? When you tell somebody normally, right? Like you would talk to somebody, like out there, okay? But when you declare something, you're doing it with enthusiasm. You may even shout it out like we shouted it out, right? That's the difference between tell and declare. And that's what caught me here. He didn't just say, go tell this person. He said, go declare of all the things that God has done for you. Guess what? That's what he wants us to do. But that can be hard. That can be scary when you're telling people about Jesus. It can be very scary. But he wants you to declare, because you know why? Because it's all the wonderful things that God has done for you, and it's special. It's like winning the championship. So, here's what I want to do. I want to have a prayer, but then I want to get us together one more time. Okay? All right? Before you go back to your seat. So let's pray first. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you very much for all the wonderful things you've done for us. And help us to go out and tell people about it by declaring all the wondrous love that you've given us. Give us the strength to do that and be with us as we do, as we share the love of Christ with all whom we meet. Amen. All right, so gather around. One more time. Come on. Everybody, come on.
And then we're going to do it. You ready? Here we go. Ready?
One, two, three. Oh, come on. We can do better than that. Here we go. One, two, three. There you go. All right. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A man had to work late one night, and he wanted to get home, so he took a shortcut as he was walking through the cemetery. But unknown to him, during the day, they had dug a new grave in the cemetery, and sure enough, he fell into that grave. He scrambled to try to get out, but he could find no handhold, no foothold, because the ground was just too loose. It just kept coming down. It was too high up to jump. And so, after trying a little bit longer, he decided just to settle down in for the evening. He was sure somebody would be coming by in the morning. About an hour later, there was a farmer who was out hunting a fox who had been getting into his chicken coop, and the fox had run into the cemetery. And so the farmer had gone out there too, trying to find that fox, and sure enough, he fell into that same hole. Same thing happened. He tried to scramble and tried to get out, and he did not realize there was somebody else already in that grave. And so the first person watched him for a few moments trying to get out, and then the first person put his hand on the shoulder of the farmer and says, "You cannot get out of this grave." But the farmer did. Motivation is a powerful tool. It's amazing what we can do with motivation. In our story today, there's a number of different characters that take place. Like Terry said, this story is packed with a lot of different things in it. And I want to look at it from the point of motivation. What motivated each person here in this story? And I want to start with Jesus. Jesus had been teaching and preaching and healing people on the Jewish side of Lake Galilee. There around Capernaum, Nazareth was in that area, and a number of other little villages, towns, different places. And Jesus was traveling from village to village, proclaiming the kingdom of God. He was healing people, he was teaching people, he was talking to them. And his name, his reputation was starting to grow. The whole region started to know who he was. So wherever Jesus went, there was always a crowd. In Luke's gospel, Jesus goes back to his own hometown, And Mary and Jesus' brothers and sisters were trying to get to him, and they could not because the crowd was so great. Everybody was pressing in on Jesus. Jesus needed a break. So he tells the disciples, they go down to the lake. Jesus tells the disciples, get in the boat, and they all climb in the boat. Jesus climbs in too, and as soon as they get in the boat, Jesus goes to sleep. When they arrive on the other side of the lake, now on this side is the Gerasenes, and they are Gentiles. They are not Jewish. Jesus is looking for a break, but when he gets to the other side, there is an opportunity. There's still an opportunity to do ministry because on the other side to greet them is this crazy wild man. But Jesus has compassion on him and he heals this man. The motivation for Jesus is the compassion of the people. That's what his whole mission here on this earth is about, is compassion for the lost and wandering people. People like us and people who are the outcasts. For everyone, he has compassion on us. None of us are worthy of God. And so that's what his whole mission on earth was, is compassion and to save the people. He has compassion immediately on this person. Anywhere Jesus goes, he has the opportunity to do ministry. He sees that opportunity to do ministry. And I think that's the key to being a Christian, is to be able to see that opportunity and then to act on that opportunity. If we look around us, there's always opportunity for ministry. There's always people hurting. And we know who the people are hurting. They may be people around us. There are also strangers that we haven't met yet that are hurting. Many people are poor. They're hungry. Many people are hurting. But it's how we look at them. There's people caught up in addictions. How do we look at them? Do we say, those terrible people, they made terrible choices. They deserve what they're getting. Or do we look at the people with compassion and say, how can I help? How can I help lift them out of this situation? Jesus saw people in that way. How can I lift them up? How can I raise them up? How can I turn them around? He had compassion, and that was the motivation of Jesus. And then we look at the man who was healed. This man, possessed by demons, a wild man, crazy man. He hadn't bathed, he hadn't washed, he goes running around with no clothes on. He sleeps in the tombs, just in terrible shape. What is his motivation? Obviously, his motivation is driven by the demons. He has demons inside of him, and he just acts wild. He acts crazy. He's antisocial. Everything else. But yet, when he sees Jesus, he recognizes Jesus, or the demons within him recognize Jesus as well. Jesus has the compassion, and he is healed. Now, I want to speculate a little bit this morning about this man. My question is how did the demons get inside of him? I know I don't want demons inside of me. Maybe, and like I said, I'm speculating on this one. Maybe he had the thoughts that I want to be my own person. I want to be free. I don't want the constraints of society. I don't want people telling me what to do. I don't want responsibility. I want to make things on my own way. I want to be free. I don't want anybody else having control of my life. I don't even want God having control of my life. And then you're opening yourself up to demons, because the demons are going to enter. By ourselves, we are not powerful enough just to fight the demons that come into our lives. And so demons started coming into his lives. And then more demons started coming into his lives. He had many demons. When Jesus asked him, what's your name, when he was speaking to the demon, he said, Legion. The Roman Legion was made of 1,000 soldiers. He had many demons within him. And they were all messing him up. He got his freedom with the demons, because he didn't have to answer to society. He didn't have to answer to God. He didn't have to answer to anybody. He was strong. He was able to break bonds and shackles and chains and escape when people locked him up. He was completely wild. He had the freedom, except in that freedom, he had no freedom of all, because he was being controlled by the demons. Jesus heals him. He casts out the demons, and the man is made whole once again. He sits there at Jesus' feet. And when Jesus was ready to leave, Jesus was ready to get back in the boat and go back over to the side where Capernaum was, the man was ready to go with Jesus. He was motivated. Jesus had given him a new life, a true freedom in God. He was ready to follow Jesus. But Jesus says, no, I've got something else for you to do. I want you to go out and declare to the people what God has done for you. And the man was truly motivated to go and do that. Jesus wasn't able to do any other ministry at this point. This is still early in Jesus' ministry. He was not able to do ministry at this point in that region. But later, he sends his disciples out, and his disciples do wonderful things. This man who was healed had already started to declare what Jesus had done for him. And so by the time Jesus or the disciples came back into that area, they were ready to hear. They were ready to listen. They were curious so that word of God could spread. All right, also in this story, we see the disciples. But there's only one little part where you see the disciples. It's in that very first line, where it says, when Jesus and the disciples arrived on the other side of the lake. That's it. That's all you see of the disciples in this story. But they play a part in this story. Now, when Jesus had crossed the lake the first time, when he was getting away from Capernaum, that whole area, that region, to get onto the other side to the Gerasenes, we pick up another story that's in the Bible. And that's where Jesus goes to sleep in the boat, and then a storm arises. And many of those that were in the boat were fishermen. They knew Lake Galilee. They knew that the storms, how they could crop up suddenly, and how turbulent they could make things. The wind would blow, the rain would come down, the waves would come up. And that's exactly what happened as they were traveling across. And Jesus stayed asleep in the boat. And here these huge waves were lapping over the boat. They were starting to come into the boat. The boat was starting to sink. They thought this was the end of their lives. And they wake Jesus up and say, Jesus, wake up. Don't you even care that we're perishing? Jesus wakes up and calms the storm. And when everything's quiet, it says in Luke's gospel that the disciples were filled with fear and with awe. And so I'm sure that when they finally arrived here on this other side of the lake where the wild man was, they were ready to get out of the boat and kiss the shore. But instead, they were greeted by this man with matted hair, with no clothes on, grisly-looking guy, completely filthy, and smelling of rot and decay from the dead things where he lived. They were in shock, they were in fear, and they were in awe. So what's their motivation? It was none. They were stunned into silence. They did not have the motivation to move or to do anything because they were filled with fear. I think that fear fills us sometimes then too, where we're not able to do anything. There's opportunities around us to do ministry, to talk to people, to help them, to encourage people, to teach Sunday school, to serve on a committee, or to do some work around the church, or to help somebody else in the community, to raise them up. But we're too fearful to do it. We say, I'm too old. I'm going to fail. I don't have enough experience. I'm going to fail. I've never done this before. I'm going to fail. Somebody's going to criticize me that I'm not doing it right. We have fear. That fear overtakes us, and we're not able to take the opportunity, even if we see that opportunity right in front of us. We don't want to do it. And then you have the Gerasenes, the people of the city, the close by town, the countryside right there. They had seen the wild man, full of demons. Their motivation was to lock him up, to put shackles on him, to bind him up in chains. But that didn't work. They wanted nothing to do with him. They were afraid. They had fear of this wild man. And then they hear that he had been cured, that he had been healed. And so they come to check it out. And sure enough, there is that man sitting at the feet of Jesus, in his right mind, acting like a normal person. And they say, how can this be? They too, it says here in our lesson, they are afraid. They were afraid of this wild man, and now they are afraid of Jesus. Who is this man who could calm the spirits or who could cast out the spirits? Who is this man that could change things in this world? Who is this man that made the demons go into the swine and drowned in the sea? It made them afraid. But unlike the disciples, they weren't paralyzed in their fear. Rather, instead, they told Jesus to leave, to get out. It was too much. It was overwhelming for them. They told Jesus to leave, get back in your boat, and go back to where you came from. We do not want you here. And so no more ministry was done. No more ministry was done in that place, other than the wild man going back and proclaiming what God had done for him. We get locked up in fear. We cannot move. We reject the goodness of God. We need to see the opportunities around us. Just like Jesus saw those opportunities around him. He was tired. He was worn out. He needed some peace. He needed to be recharged. But yet he still saw opportunities and he took them to do ministry. And wonderful things happened. For us, we are called to follow Jesus, to see those opportunities, to seize upon those opportunities, and to pick up the cross and follow Christ. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.